Hey guys, this is Silence Vibes, and we are going to record my Mother's Day special, and I am so excited. I have my mother as a guest, along with one of her childhood friends. They have also grown to have this amazing sisterhood. I'm actually meeting her for the first time, and I am just so excited and enlightened by the energy here in the room right now. So I have a couple of questions for these beautiful mothers here today as my guests. And we're going to start off with some good stuff for the millennials out there, because I've always wanted to ask my mom some of these questions, and hopefully she is not embarrassed to answer them in front of her sister, but we're going to ask her anyways. So one of my questions that I've been wanting to ask you, mother, is how do you get over a heartbreak from a drop dead, gorgeous, chocolate, melt in your mouth. Everything is aligned. You guys are connected, but it doesn't work. So how do you take that energy and walk away and still have power? So Mercedes here has the answer first. So we're going to let her respond. Go for it.
Been there, done that. And it's called looking in the mirror and saying, I love myself more.
Really?
And I literally done it. Because I'm telling you from experience, every day I had to say, I love myself more. I love myself more. I mean, I used to recite it. Mm-hmm. And then I told myself, on this date, I'm leaving. Mm. And I did it. And I built myself up, literally saying, I love myself more. I love myself more. And I stuck to that date and I left and I never looked back. And I loved myself more.
At the end. That's good. Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Is that what you would say?
Just to piggyback off of Mercedes, I love myself more. And just putting that in my mind helped me.
Okay, I can totally see that. That's going to help me.
And I love myself more, and I love my children more. That helped me.
That makes sense. I have another really awesome question. I have a lot of awesome questions, by the way. But my next question is, this is for your granddaughters, okay? If I don't know if you have any grandkids yet, but if you have any granddaughters, for your granddaughters, in society nowadays, what's going on is that, number one, from my perspective, it's difficult to be a woman, period, okay? So they're going to grow into that same cycle, right? It's just, no matter what color you are, it's difficult being a woman. But right now, we have a lot of women coming to the forefront, and they're showing their power, and they're showing their confidence, and their strength, right? My question to you is, what advice can you give to your granddaughters growing up 10, 15 years from now? And just think about society right now today, how difficult it is to not only be a woman, but let's just get real, to also be a black woman in America. Those two things are, they're going to have to learn how to overcome those things and take their power and blossom. What would you say to them 10 years from now? So 10 years from now is going to be 2028. You're going to be 60. What would you say to them in 10 years?
Read, read, read. Have confidence. You have to have a foundation, a spiritual foundation. Whatever it is in the universe, whatever your belief system is, confidence is key. And believing in yourself is key. And that will take you a long way.
Nice. Do you have anything to add?
I do. And I'm going to piggyback with the reading. But with the reading comes communication. Mm-hmm. So with the confidence and the reading, you have to be able to articulate. Mm. And we're talking about from the boardroom mm-hmm. to the bedroom.
Correct. This is true.
So allowing yourself to communicate, even in those vulnerable moments, you have to communicate. And so you have to know the right timing and the right way to deliver that message.
Delivery
is so important. It can make you or it can break you.
This is true.
And if we're going to the bedroom with your partner, husband, whatever year you said, 20 years from now, being and showing and knowing how to show vulnerability at the right time is so important.
Yeah.
It's key.
Yeah.
It's delivery of your message. You can be that, could you go, you ain't go and wash that car yet? Or you can say, baby, we really need to go, let's go to the car wash and wash the cars.
Yeah.
It's all about delivery.
Totally.
It can make or break your relationships, period. All relationships.
All relationships, yeah.
That's true.
That's very interesting.
Very good.
That was great, ladies. Thank you so much. So my next question is about pregnancy, because this is a Mother's Day special. So what was your, and you have, Miss Mercedes, you have two kids?
I do.
Two children?
Mm-hmm.
My mom has three. And I am one of two older sisters. And we would like to know, what was your first thought when you took your first pregnancy test with my eldest sister and you saw that it was positive? What is the first words that came to your mind? And if you would like to give out your age, you can. You don't have to. But what was your first thought when you were about to, when you conceived your first child?
I was like, what the fuck? I said, this can't be real. I'm too smart. I said, I had too much knowledge to be pregnant in high school. Like, what the fuck? Like, did this really happen? Like, how am I going to come out of this thing?
And then you got a beautiful baby.
And then I thought that thought, and I said, I will not do the same thing that my mother did when she had her children. I will be better and I will supersede her. And then once I planted that seed in my mind, I was 17 years old. I had 3 months to graduate from school, and it's been on and popping since. So, but yes, that pregnancy test scared me.
You were scared.
I was scared.
And this is very interesting, really, to hear my mother say that she was scared.
I really was.
Because she is literally the most fearless person that I have ever met in my entire life. She might be afraid of spiders and bugs, but life situations, I never would ever believe that you would come across your first thought being fearful. Even though you said it only lasts a couple moments, but still, you still had that first instinct of, fear. Holy shit, fear. This is fear. I'm pregnant. What about you?
For me, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah?
Because I was with someone that I really didn't really want to be with. But
I could relate.
Ditto.
I said I'm going to be the best mother I can be, and I'm going to do everything opposite of what I knew.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
But I will say, it helped enable our children, because we end up doing so much. We kind of enable them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is goes back to us kind of dropping the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we were so determined to do better than what we knew. We kind of maybe did a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But yes.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think too. What Miss Mercedes here is relating to when she said, let's go back to what we were discussing, dropping the ball. We had some technical difficulties because Silence Vibes is not always perfect. And we kind of had this really special question that I asked them in the very beginning. And if you hear pages being flipped, that's because I'm actually doing that. So the question was, and I don't know if the ladies want to go back to it or not, but we can. The question was, is what is your greatest accomplishment as a mother? And then I believe we also went over the most important lessons you have learned from being a mother. So we kind of discussed that. I believe my mom brought up that one of her greatest accomplishments as a mother was when divorce, Miss Mercedes used this very well. She said when divorce knocked on her door and how they dealt with it, because it's something that we're all seeing all over the place. And they were just explaining what they had to deal with and how they got through it. So I don't know if we can pick up some of the words that I notated during that time was patience, prayer, opportunity, pain to push into your purpose. So Miss Mercedes made a good point that she used her pain from her divorce to push into her purpose rather than to push her towards, to actually put her into that specific environment and state of mind. My mom actually said that she wrote down some pros and some cons, thoughts, planning, listening, hope, and perspective, and things like that. So I don't know if you guys want to pick up from what we're talking about. What do you mean by with your children? What do you mean by drop the ball? At what point did you may have felt like you enabled them by, so to speak, because dropping the ball is a very intense statement, and a lot of kids don't really see that in their parents. So explain that for me just a little bit more. Drop the ball.
So
what do you mean?
And I'll just be quick because I know you want to elaborate on it, and it's really for your grandchildren. But
yours too.
When I say
this is good.
I dropped the ball during that divorce period. My son, my youngest, was 13, and I was kind of focused on, okay, what do I need to do for me? I allowed my pain to push me to my purpose. But at the same time, even though I was doing everything I needed to do for my son, mm-hmm. I realized even in that, you can still be very distant.
Yes.
So where we were in this big old house, mm-hmm. you know, I gave him everything. Mm-hmm. We did everything. Mm-hmm. He had the best of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, beautiful environment. You know, it was the only black on the entire basketball team. Mm-hmm. We did all those things. So how can I still be distant? Mm-hmm. I'm in my bedroom and he was in his bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so I dropped the ball because we didn't stay a community. I still allow him to know the aunties that I knew, that I grew up knowing. He's supposed to knew auntie that I grew up with. He's supposed to knew auntie's children that we grew up with. And so I think we dropped the ball because the big mamas got lost along the way. Mm-hmm. We didn't continue to keep that community close-knit relationship. We went off and built our worlds very independently. Mm-hmm. And that some of that got lost along the way.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by dropping the ball. And I went back and I apologized to my children for it.
Really quick, just to interrupt before my mom picks up, I've never had a big mom. So the only representation of big mama that I know is the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So is that really what it's like? Is big mama back in the day your nanny, your cook, your confidant, your friendship, your the person you go to? What does that mean?
You have one now.
Oh, I met one.
You met one now.
And you're going to show me what that means.
And I'm going
to. And then we'll come back to our listeners, and I will tell them, the millennials that have never, I think a lot of kids my age, and we need, especially young, I'm not even going to put it into a sex thing. Men and women need that person, so to speak, that is always going to be there to, I think, remind them of who their family really is, because you get so lost along the way. And a lot of people my age, like one of my favorite artists, just to go a little off topic, his name is Avicii, and he was a very, very rich artist. Mm-hmm. And he committed suicide. And his family said he struggled being happy. He wasn't OD'd. He didn't, none of those things. It wasn't drug related. He struggled being happy. Mm-hmm. So maybe if he had a big mama, or a big papa on the porch, or whatever you want to call it, in that endearing term, one of my favorite artists, at the age he died on 4/20/2018, at the age of 28, I'm 29. That is crazy, you know? And this is real life. This is what happens. So just piggybacking off of what you were saying, so some of the things that she said resonated for me because my parents got divorced when I was 13. We lived in this beautiful neighborhood. We lived in this nice house. There was a very small amount of black people. Thank you to my, a little bit of my intellect comes from there. But she's absolutely correct. In my point of view, there was a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And now being a mother myself, I've realized that at that time, I believe that my mom was so used to it being a connection as a family that when that family line, one of the pieces to that link was cut, she forgot to connect the rest of the link. And that's okay. That is okay when your mother admits that. That is totally okay.
And apologizes.
Because your kids are always there to... I'm always there to... Kind of like a... back in the day in PE, you would do the link of your arms. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. So what happens is, let's just say that person had to go to the restroom during the whole class. What did you do? They left the link. They go to the restroom. You get back linked up with your next classmate. And then the cycle continues to circulate. So, were you feeling some of the things that Mercedes was saying as well?
Exactly.
Like, to the T. She really did resonate for us.
Exactly how I was feeling.
Yeah.
What I was going through. Did I go back and apologize to my children? Yes. Exactly what you said is exactly what I said.
Yeah, it is.
And I never could put it in words. Because their feeling was, why did you leave us hanging?
Yeah. I think as you children. Know,
and you said it perfect, and I want to thank you.
Yeah.
For being that is here really today dope. With us and bridging the gaps and closing the chains so that we all can grow.
Yeah.
You know, and happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, guys.
This is beautiful.
It is. I am over here having goosebumps. Yeah. Me and my sister is why they kind of have a sister moment here. They should probably like hold hands and stuff, kumbaya. But while they're doing that, me and my sisters actually, I got with my sisters and we discussed leaving something from my mother to my mom now has recently, and congratulations, mom, just became a grandmother of her sixth grandchild, and it is a boy. So now she has it even. She has three grandsons and three granddaughters. And as a child, a lot of things were not discussed. And as I grow into who I'm becoming, and as my sisters grow into who they're becoming, we need to know these things, and we need to have these conversations. You need to have these conversations with your mother. And sit them down and be like, look, we're having this conversation, whether you have kids or not, because at some point, the legacy is going to continue to link. And it cannot do that without conversation. So I have another listener named Hoppy that had another question for you. And I'm kind of afraid to like get off of this thing because I don't want to lose it. But this is a big deal. This is a religious question. And I don't know if Mercedes wants to chime in, but she's of course can. Why did you decide to become a Muslim? So for those of you out there, Silence was raised Muslim, Nation of Islam Muslim, and I am so proud of it. I am proud of my religious background as I grew up. But I don't know what sent my parents, specifically my mother, because it's Mother's Day, to choose Islam over Christianity, Judaism is the proper term, I believe, Baptist. There's so many other things that could have been chosen. And no judgment. This is a no judgment zone. Hoppy wants to know why you decided to choose Islam.
Wow, that's a very good question. For me, I grew up as a Christian Baptist with my parents, and I would always go to them with questions, and nobody could answer them. Okay, so I felt lost. And when I went to church, I felt scared. When they started talking about, you know, the resurrection, and you know, they started talking about Easter and, you know, different questions. Nobody could never answer my questions. So I was always felt stuck. So in my little mind, I said, okay, you're a Christian, but why is God allowing all these things to happen to me and my friends? Like, why do we got to go through all this stuff? We don't deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drugs, you know, our family, sexual abuse, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to get food, just a whole lot of issues surrounding my life. And I'm like, well, I'm going to church every day, but then I see all these things that are happening in my life. So I just took it upon myself and said, I'm going to do something different. I want to be different from my family. I want to be different from my mother. I have always been different. So when I first started out, I was a 5%er. And in fact, the reason why I became a 5%er was because when I read it, it made sense to me. Okay? It made sense to my mind. It answered my questions. I felt safe. I didn't feel puzzling. It made me want to read more. It made me want to find out more information about the universe. It made me want to find out, you know, how I was created, why black people are hated, where did we derive from, how did we get here from Africa. It opened up so much for me. And at that time in my life, I was a sponge thinking about where I came from. I'm like, I don't think I want to be a Christian.
Really quick, sorry to interrupt. I just need an age. At what age did you decide that you wanted something more?
I was 11 years old. Oh, and wow. I went home and I told my mother, I will not eat pork no more. We can't eat pork. And she said, pork? We eat pork every day. She said, well, what are you going to eat? You love ham and cheese. She said, you're not going to get a sub sandwich from Fred Market down the street at the corner store? I said, no, I'm not going to eat pork. And she said, well, okay, where's all this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And me and my mother had that conversation, and I just told her, I said, I'm not going to eat pork no more, and I think that I would like to become either, my choices were a Jehovah Witness or a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so my mother came back to me and said, well, I don't think being a Muslim would be a good thing for you, because your brother was a Muslim and your sister was a Muslim and they didn't stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a fad.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how are you going to knock what I want to do just because they didn't go through?
They didn't go, yeah.
They didn't follow through. And she was like, you're right. She said, well, since you want decide that you want to be a Muslim, she said, when you graduate from school, you could do anything you want to do. She said, but while you're under my roof, you will go to church. She said, I won't feed you pork if that's what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but you will go to church. And she said, when you get 18 years old, you can decide to be whoever you want to believe, be, as long as you believe in a God and you pray.
That's it.
And that was my deciding factor.
And I can vouch for it.
That's crazy.
I was there, and it was completely opposite for me. My stepdad was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted us and made us go to the mosque,
mm-hmm,
and rapped. And I used to look at...
It's okay.
I used to look at her...
Mm-hmm.
Rat, because she started a little earlier.
Garments, yeah.
And I wanted opposite. And so at 13, I started going to church. I wanted a little bit more. I wanted a little bit more clarity on what the fellowship was like. Where her fellowship was with the brothers and the sisters, I wanted fellowship with the... I was looking for the older... I guess guidance,
mm-hmm,
because she had mom and, you know, granddad, I didn't, you know, there was a disconnect for me from my mother. So I was looking for love differently because I was looking for a mom and a granddad, and I found that in the church.
Yeah.
So it was a little different. But guess
here
what?
Here we are.
We all have the same God.
Yes.
No matter what we call them.
I think I have a question really quick about that. Is it, and this is for your legacy, I didn't start to go and try to look for something else because I was raised Muslim once again until I was 25, mm-hmm. which was just 4 years ago. I never wanted to go to church. I do not like organized religion at all whatsoever, which also means I do not like the mosque either. I like unorthodox ways of giving praise to our one God, which I believe is okay. However, I could not imagine having those questions at 11 and 13. Is it fair to say that at that time you were searching for something so pure
yes.
that you could not find? And I was safe from those things because I was allowed in your sons as well, because I was allowed that safety mm-hmm. lock on my life. But for those people that have gone through this at 11 and 13, and what is the first step? Do you just sit in your room and pray? Do you just find a friend that goes to a church? Do you tell your parents, F you, I'm not going to this place? Or do you accept you respect your parents? Because this really has a big deal when you become a person, an adult. And when you start to raise your own kids, if you found it that young, it's still in you here now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then you instill those things into your children. And then now they have to pass the baton to their children, which is then your grandchildren, so on and so forth.
That's right.
So would you expect your grandkids to tell your children, I don't want to do that? Or would you expect your children to say, you're going to until this age?
Well, for me, again, it's all about delivery.
Right.
Right? It's all right. about communicating.
Right.
Even with your mom.
Right.
You say, your mom says, okay, but while you're here, this is what I can do.
Right.
I won't feed you pork anymore, but we're still going to do this until that time. I think it was all about communicating. You opened up and you communicated with her, and she couldn't do anything but respect you from that.
Well, I think my mom kind of elaborated more on this situation because mm-hmm. she was like, well, when I told her, she was like, taken back from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is how I grew up. And so she didn't really say much because my mother was really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I was coming to her with some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming to her with something that I wasn't backing down from. And the key thing about my mother, what she said that really stuck in my heart until this day, was she was like, you know, nobody never told me anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've learned. So what I've learned is what I have taught you. So she says, you're coming to me with new information.
Exactly.
She says, so you have to give me time
mm-hmm.
to absorb and to understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And she also said to me, show me where it is.
She wanted to see it, yeah.
Show me. She said, I can support you if you show me, because I'm like 45, 50 years old, and this is the way I've been going for 50 years.
Exactly.
She said, so I don't know how to go on a new path.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there was the opening for me, because all along when I was born, I knew I was different anyway. So from that conversation that I had with my mother, because we had an open conversation, I can talk to my mother. From that point, it was like, I have her. She's going to listen. She's going to support me.
Right. So from your perspective to your children, who's now going to give it down to your next generation, your advice to your daughter would be to always listen to your grandchildren.
And I would say, my family, even though my mother didn't have what I had at that time,
mm-hmm.
I was grounded in God. Mm-hmm. I was grounded in prayer.
That's it.
When I seen my mother going through things. My mother was in church all the time. She was, you know, they call them deacons back then.
Yes,
she praised the Lord. My mother didn't wear makeup. She was beautiful. She didn't, she wasn't flashy. She was a very simple lady. But she gave me what she could give me.
Yes.
What she okay. knew. What she knew.
She did the best
okay.
that she could.
So I didn't hold knew. My mother responsible for what she did not know. But because I was coming into a new birthing and a new awareness, which my brother and sister may have didn't sat down and speak to her about, exactly. I wanted to talk to my mother about it because I wanted my mother to know more of, you know, what I was into. Okay, so it became a beautiful thing. So when I be for my grandkids and for my daughters, I would like for my daughters to give my grandkids the foundation of what should be laid to move forward.
So then they can make their own.
So they can make their own decision when they are older.
So the foundation.
And feel comfortable.
And feel comfortable.
Open up and communicate.
And going
to you
back
about
to that confidence. And, you know, because people are going to question you. People are going to say things.
Thank you so much. And on that note, I think this is really good and this is really powerful. I would actually like to, I know my listeners are going to want my mom to come back. We're going to have to discuss that. But Miss Mercedes, you are always welcome and thank you for your time. Mom, happy Mother's Day. We love you. Your daughters absolutely love you. So tomorrow I am going to be my mom's chef. I hope you guys are figuring it out. Even though I'm a mother, I've never really been into the whole buy me flowers, make me dinner because I'm a picky eater. I'm not down with that stuff. But my mom loves to be dazzled and treated like a baby. So I'm going to give her that tomorrow. So you guys are not going to hear this. We are recording this the day before Mother's Day. You are going to get it on 5/15/18. Those numbers really resonate for me right now in life. So we will come back to you and hopefully we can actually, you know, pick up and get comment, sit down, push play, let your mothers hear this conversation. Maybe this will start some, you know, some community and some dialogue between you and your mother. Even your father, if your mother is not here anymore. Also, this episode is dedicated to my Nana, which is my mother's mother, who is not living anymore. We hope she is resting easy in heaven. And of course, she can hear us. And happy Mother's Day, Nana. And we love you. Do you guys have any closing statements for Silence Vibes, listeners or viewers or anything?
Peace and blessings.
She said, my mother said
and
peace and blessings. And happy Mother's Day.
Queens of the universe and mothers of civilization.
I just want to say I am honored to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really believe that everything happens for a reason and nothing happens by mistake. Sure. So it was meant for me to be here, to be a part of your vision. Mm-hmm. And I accept being your big mama.
Thank you.
And where there is no vision, the people perish.
So I challenge all of you, find a big mama. They're out there.
Yes. And I'm going to do another, and thank you ladies so much. I'm going to do another podcast. And as I figure out what that means, then I will share with you guys what that means. Also, 2 weeks from May 15th, we're going to have another live podcast, no co-hosts, no guests. It's going to be just you and I again. We haven't had a moment. So happy Mother's Day to all my friends and family and all my listeners. Thank you to my mom for joining me on this is my dream. So it's very nice that I could share it with her and her sisterhood and this bond that they have. It's very inspiring. So thank you guys so much. Happy Mother's Day. And once again, this is Silence Vibes. Peace, love, and positivity.